again. Do you feel the Holy Ghost just sweeping the room right now? Let's pray together. God, we need you. I pray, God, that you would speak to us today. Deliver us and change us. Anoint us, oh God. We can feel your power. We can feel your presence. We ask Jesus that you would have your way in us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. Dare to hope again. That word hope is in the Bible 130 times. All throughout the Bible, cover to cover. We read about the hope we can find in Jesus Christ. In those verses, we see that those who follow after God, those that trust in him, those that respond according to his word have hope. But you will also find verses that will explain very clearly to us that those that chose to not follow after God or follow after their own plan, that they were the ones with no hope. They were the ones that did not have the hope of the outcome for tomorrow. When you get to the book of Job, you find 15 different times Job talks about hope. When his mind is not stayed on God, he says that he has no hope. Many of us are familiar with the situation that was happening in Job's life and the devastation that he was experiencing. And he would proclaim that when his mind was on God and when he was trusting in God, that he had hope. But when he went his own direction and began to rely on the voice of his friends or the voice of his colleagues or maybe he even his own mind, that he would experience those times of hopelessness. But when he remembered the power and the promises of God, his hope was revitalized. A few months ago, I sat in a grief counseling training seminar, and I heard story after story of some of the most horrific experiences that these people there in that class had gone through. And I kept thinking to myself as they recounted these stories and these experiences, how in the world do people go through these situations like this without God? How can they muster up the strength to face tomorrow without the presence and the promises of God? For days after I left that seminar, for days after I finished that training, over and over in the back of my head, I would recount these stories and I could not get away from them. My mind was completely captivated by this thought, and I kept thinking, what would I do? Where would I be if I had to experience these things that these folks experienced? What would be my response if I had to go through what they went through and if I experienced the loss that they had experienced? And it got to the point after a few days that I had to go to the Lord in prayer, because it's not typically my nature to get like that. I tend to be a cup half fuller. I tend to be pretty positive. I tend to be the type of person that says, well, don't get too stressed out about it. God's got it all under control. And I may worry some, but I tend to be pretty good about that stuff. I tend to be pretty positive. But day after day, it kept rolling over in my mind, what would happen if this happened to my family or to my children? And it would wake me up at night, and I had this fear in my heart, and it just was not like me. And so I went to God and I began to pray about it, and God, what would I do? God, you would have to help me. And in the midst of that prayer, God whispered to me, you have hope. The difference between those that do not know God and those that have experienced the power And the presence of the Holy Ghost is hope. And I've come to tell somebody today that there is hope in the Holy Ghost. I don't wanna get too far ahead of myself, but in case you haven't noticed, I've come to tell somebody today that God can be and will be your hope. It was in that moment that I realized why this world is so desperate, and I realized why this world was walking around so defeated and so downtrodden, and why so many people are so sad and so angry. They don't have joy in their heart. They don't have a song in their heart. It's because they don't have hope. They haven't experienced the hope that comes with the power and the Spirit of Jesus Christ living down inside of them. Those that do not know God and they're not trusting Him have no hope. It was the morning of October 9th, 2012, and I was making my way across the parking lot from the evangelist quarters where my wife and I were living at the time, and I was coming to the sanctuary to get ready for my dad's funeral. And as I was walking down that sidewalk and coming across the parking lot, I can remember the sky being so gray, so cloudy. It was such a gloomy day, and just a perfect day for a funeral, if there ever was one. But it was so gloomy, and it just added to the gloom that I could feel on the inside, added to, you know, that whole atmosphere. And I was trying to pull myself together. We were going to try to sing a song at the funeral, and I was trying to look the part and keep my chin up, but I wasn't in the mood, and it was really sad, and I walked outside and the clouds didn't make it any better. And right as I got about halfway across the parking lot, there was this little spot in the clouds that just a few rays of light were shining through. And again, God spoke to me. And God reminded me, you may not be able to see it right now, but the sun is still shining. There's somebody here today that you may not be able to see it right now, but God is wanting you to know the sun is still shining. You may not be able to see it from where you're at right now. The problems and the cares of life may have you so weighed down that you could barely get your head up, and you may not be able to see Him, but He is still sitting on the throne. God is still in control, and you can hope again. You can still have hope of a tomorrow. You can still have hope of a breakthrough and of a miracle. Because God is still alive and well. Can somebody praise Him if you believe it? I don't usually use the book of Lamentation as my scripture text, but we're going to turn to Lamentation chapter 3. Some of you get nervous because I just said scripture text and you think I'm just starting, but it's all right. Just didn't have it in the beginning. Lamentation chapter 3. Start at verse 20 through 26. And it was amazing how it's worded here, this portion of scripture. But I believe that this is the word of God for somebody today. It says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Verse 20, 21 says, yet I still dare to hope. When I remember this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those that depend on Him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation from the Lord. God came to tell somebody today that hope isn't all gone. That the promises haven't been forfeited. He says, the Lord is my inheritance. Another version of that says that he is my portion. You know, an inheritance is something that you're going to get down the road a little bit. You don't always get your inheritance today. But I can trust and I can believe that in the end, in a space of time, and in just a little while, there's something that is coming to me. There is a promise that is going to be fulfilled in my life because the Lord is my inheritance. And because he died for me, I said, because he died for me, I can claim that inheritance. I can claim that promise. And I can hope again. Because it doesn't matter what I'm going through, my God is greater. It doesn't matter what situation I'm facing, my God is able. He is able to meet my needs. Fear will try to bind me. It'll try to hold me captive, but circumstances will try to cause you to give up. But when you look around at your surroundings, all the doom and gloom, and you have to remind yourself, the Lord is my hope. My hope is in the Lord. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. Some trust in finances. Some trust in good planning. Some trust in their jobs. Some trust in their own wisdom. But I've got to remember that my hope is in the name of the Lord. My hope is in the name of the Lord. My hope is in the promises of the Lord. Jesus' name. Sometimes I've just got to get into his presence and remind myself. Sometimes I feel like I'm reminding him, and then I got to remember, no, it's not him that needs the reminding. I say, God, now you remember, my hope is in you. And he said, oh, well, do you remember? Sometimes I've just got to get past all that stuff, get alone with God and just whisper, God, my hope is in you. I can hear the voice of the enemy screaming in my ear. All I can see is my situation right now. But God, help me to know and help me to remember that you're not going to let me down. You're never going to fail me, God. There's promise after promise after promise. My hope is in you, Jesus. My hope is in you, Jesus. My hope is in you. Why don't you pray that right now? God, my hope is in you. God, I'm going to trust in you. God, I'm going to believe in you. I struggle with delivering these types of messages because I know that sometimes you're going to have to practice what you preach. And so I pray, God, help me. God, if I go through these situations, help me to remember that my hope is in you. Help me to remember that I'm trusting in you, oh God. Help me to remember, Jesus, that the outcome is up to you and you know the way that I take. You're a deliverer. You're a provider. My joy doesn't come from my circumstances. My peace does not come from my surroundings, but I have hope of a better day because my peace and my joy and my rest come from the Lord. Psalm 16 and 9 says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. If your mind and your spirit is in turmoil because of all the problems, because of your situation, then I challenge you to recite this verse in your time of prayer every day. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. I can have peace and I can rest because my hope is in him. Psalm 38:15 says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear Oh, Lord, my God. In thee, oh, Lord, do I hope. In thee, oh, Lord, do I hope. In thee, oh, Lord, do I hope. I had to say it just this week when I looked at the bank statement. And I said, oh, in thee, oh, Lord, do I hope. Go ahead and laugh. It wasn't so funny. Because I'm being serious. There have been times in my life that I have to remind myself, my hope is in him. My hope is in him. I don't know the outcome. I don't know how he's going to do it. But God, my hope is in you. My trust is in you. The psalmist understood it when he wrote in Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Sometimes you just got to look yourself in the mirror. You got to straighten yourself up and ask yourself, why are you thinking this way? Why are you saying these things? Why are you so discomfited? And why is your soul in such turmoil when you know that God will take care of you? He says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'll praise him for the help of his countenance. That word countenance literally means support. He said, I'm going to praise you because you support me. I'm going to praise you because you're going to take care of me. I'm going to praise you because you're not going to let me down. You're not going to walk away from me, but you're going to give me what I need to face this trial. You're going to give me what I need to be able to keep my mind right and that my spirit won't be broken. God, I'm going to praise you for your support. It means, God, I'm going to praise you because you're holding me up. You're not going to let me fall. You're not going to let me fail, God. But you're going to pick me up. You're going to dust me off. You're going to clean me up again. And you're going to set me back on the path of victory and a path of blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. It's amazing how the enemy knows exactly where we are. It's amazing to me in my time of walking with God that he knows exactly what I'm going through. The enemy, Satan doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't get up in the morning and he's shocked when he sees the situations that we're in. He knows exactly what I'm going through. And so he has a plan perfectly suited to try to destroy me. And he'll begin to whisper in my ear. He'll begin to cause me to stumble and put things in my way that'll get me to try to get my eyes off of God and get my eyes out of the Word of God and try to disconnect me spiritually from the presence of God and from those, my brothers and sisters, that can help support me and keep me going. And he whispers, God, he doesn't know where you're at. And it's amazing to me that I have more faith to know that the enemy knows exactly where I am, but I don't have enough faith to believe that God knows where I am. Now, and that may be a little bit too transparent for some. I know the preacher's supposed to have it all under control and we're not supposed to ever make mistakes. But there are times when I can believe wholeheartedly that Satan knows exactly where I am. But it's hard for me to believe that God has any idea what I'm going through. But I've got to remind myself, like the psalmist, I can praise you, God, for the joy of your countenance. I can praise you because I know that you're supporting me and that you're leading me and that you're guiding me. The psalmist went on to say in Psalm 146:5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord your God. Am I saying that you should be thrilled about the situation you're in? No. But you can have hope and you can have peace and your joy can be restored because you know God is going before you. Because you know God is fighting the battle for you. Because you know God is going to make a way for you. If I didn't believe it, I'd just dismiss right now and say, let's go get something to eat. But I do believe it. And I believe there's somebody here today that needs to start believing it again. You used to believe it. And it was easy for you to believe it when somebody else needed it. But now you need it and you're finding it hard to believe it for yourself. But God is reminding you today, you can have joy and peace in me because I'm going to take care of you. There's scripture after scripture, verse after verse, example after example in the Word of God where He shows us His promises. I will take care of you. Don't look at your surroundings. Don't worry about what it looks like right now. God is going to take care of me. I'm not trying to convince you that hope is going to make the hurt and the pain go away. But hope helps me to hold on when I am hurting. Hope helps me to trust in Him when it does hurt. And when I am in pain. And when sorrow is sweeping through my life. And when I'm in the middle of disaster. And I don't know which way is up. And I feel like I can't even get out of bed in the morning. Hope can help me to hold on. Is that old song, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Time and time again in my life, I've had to whisper it to myself. Oh, I'm so glad, God, you told me trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but because I hope in you, because I trust in you, come on, you might be weeping right now, but if your hope is in God, joy is coming. You might be weeping right now, but if your hope is in Jesus Christ, you have a promise of a better tomorrow. You have a promise of a better outcome. Psalmist had great insight when he wrote those words, weeping may endure for a night. But I've got hope in Jesus Christ. He's going to bring me out. He's going to bring me out. When you look up the word hope, the definition is a feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen, a desire for a certain outcome. That's what it means when we hope. When I come to God and I say, God, I hope you're going to get me through this trial, what I'm really saying by definition is, God, I'm desiring for you to get me through this trial. God, I'm expecting that you're going to help me to make it through this. Hope is not just some flippant word that we just kind of chuck out there. Well, I hope it happens. No, when we go to God and God said, put your hope in me, He's saying, put your expectation in me. I want you to pray like you expect that I'm going to do something. I want you to pray like you desire a specific outcome. Don't just wimp out and say, well, God, I hope you do it. But no, I'm saying, God, I'm expecting a miracle. God, I'm expecting a breakthrough. Somebody say yes. I think Noah built the ark. And then he stood on the deck of that boat. And he said, I hope it starts raining. I think Peter jumped out of his boat, and he said, I hope I don't sink. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were probably walking to that fiery furnace saying, I hope I don't get burnt to a crisp. And Daniel probably said, I hope I don't get eaten by these lions. And some of you are looking around at your situation, and you're saying, I hope I can make it one more day. I hope the doctor's got it wrong. I hope it's not going to end like this. But what you're really saying is, God, I expect, God, I desire, God, I believe it's not gonna end like this. God, I'm expecting that you know better than the doctors know. desiring that you give me an outcome that doesn't sound and look the same as the banker. God, I'm expecting. God, my expectation is in you. Come on, somebody, pray in faith right now. God, I expect it. God, I expect it. At General Conference a couple weeks ago, one of the speakers used a term that I had never heard before. He talked about those that have an apostolic expectation. And man, it was like he punched me right in the face. An apostolic expectation. Those that just believe that the word of God is true. Can you imagine somebody actually believing and trusting that the word of God is true? I have an apostolic expectation that when I'm sick, you're going to heal me. God, I've got an expectation that when I can't get well, you're going to heal me. God, I've got an expectation that when I'm down and out, that you're going to pick me up. I don't have to walk around in fear. I don't have to walk around with a frown on my face, because when it all goes wrong, I can just have an expectation that it's going to be all right. God's got this. It's no big deal for Jesus. You get that report, and God says, watch this. And he starts rolling up his sleeves. You walk out of there and say, God, you got this. God, you got this. You get that phone call. Say, God, my expectation is in you. You got this. You got this. I've got to remind myself that it doesn't matter what I'm going through. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. Jeremiah 17 tells us that the man whose trust is in the Lord is going to be blessed. The man whose hope and expectation is in God is going to be blessed. It's a promise. God's word can't fail. God's word will not lie. And so I've got to hold on to it. God, I don't feel blessed. God, right now, people are looking at me and they're saying, well, you don't look blessed. By all accounts, there's nobody going to be putting my picture up on and say, blessed of the month award. But if my hope is in him, if my expectation is in him, he's promised me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to work it out for your good. I don't know who's needing to hear this today, but I've come to tell you, God has got it all under control. Romans 4:17 tells us God gives life to the dead and calls things to being that were not. Say, well, God, it's dead. It's gone. There's no way. And God says, watch this. Watch what I can do. Watch what I'm going to do. See, again, we have to remember that God's already seen the end. God's in the end, and God's in the beginning, and God's in my right now. And so though, even though it looks dead, and even though it might be dead, the Bible tells us and gives us this promise that God gives life to the dead and calls things into being that are not. If you need it to happen and it can't happen, God says, I'll just make it happen. If you need a miracle and you don't have an answer, God said, I'm making it. If you need a way out and there's no escape, God says, I'll make a way of escape. Because I call things to be that are not right now. Oh, I wish somebody would believe it today. It's because of this verse. It goes on to say in verse 18 that even when there was no reason for Abraham to hope, Abraham hoped. Put it up there, Brother Sam, Romans 4 and 18. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. You might have showed up here today. You saw that picture on the wall. Said, keep hoping. You thought to yourself, well, there's no reason for me to hope. No reason for me to hope anymore. But the Bible says, even when there's no reason to hope, keep hoping. I've come to tell somebody today, you may not have any valid reason to keep hoping except for the word of God. And it says, keep hoping. Keep hoping. Keep hoping. Keep trusting. Keep believing. God promised Abraham that he'd be the father of many nations and that descendants would come from him and they would number like the stars of heaven and the sand on the seashore, literally innumerable. But he was too old to have kids. How in the world was that going to happen? Doesn't make sense. Not even physically or humanly possible. But even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping. Then his wife miraculously gives birth to a son, and God tells Abraham, I take this promise. Right? I mean, we just spent 25 minutes talking about how the promises don't fail. Trust in the word of God. Trust in the promises. And God says, I want you to take this promise and I want you to sacrifice it. I want you to kill this promise. You talk about having no reason to hope. I don't know what you're going through today. But if it's anywhere close to this, I'd say you can claim I have no reason to hope. I'll just be real with you. If it were me, that would be me. I have no reason to hope. God said, take your promise and kill your promise, sacrifice it. The Bible says even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept on hoping. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept on hoping. Abraham kept on hoping. When most people would say it's over, when most people would say there's no reason to hope, Abraham kept on hoping. And in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, we find it in the 13th verse. It says, Abraham looked up and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took that ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. If he would have given up on the promises of God, if he would have given up on the word of God, if he would have removed himself from the voice of God, he would have missed the miraculous provision and power of God. But he made it because he kept hoping. Because he kept hoping. When he should have quit hoping, he kept on hoping. When everybody said, oh, just give it up, Abraham. Just give it up. Move on. Let it go. He kept on hoping. He kept on hoping. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say as you begin to understand him. It doesn't say as you begin to figure out how he's going to do it, but the Bible reminds us that his ways are above our ways. His understanding is far beyond our understanding. But it does say that as you trust in him, God, I don't get it. God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hope in you. I'm going to believe in you. The musicians come. Come to a close. I want you to know it may look cloudy right now, but God has sent me here to tell you that the sun is still shining. You might not be able to see it through your clouds, but the sun is still shining. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't falter. Don't give up now. Because God has promised he's going to work it out. No matter what it seems like, no matter what the surroundings are, no matter what the reports are, you just keep believing. You just keep hoping. Even when there was no hope, Abraham dared to hope again. He didn't give up. In 1952, young Florence Chadwick stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off of Catalina Island. She was determined to swim to the shore of the mainland of California. She'd already been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. But on this day, the weather was foggy. It was chilly. She could hardly even see the boat that was accompanying her. Still, she swam for 15 hours straight. And when she begged to be taken out of the water along the way, her mother leaned over the side of that boat and told her that you're close. You're almost home. You've almost made it. Keep on going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Finally, physically and emotionally exhausted, she stopped swimming. She felt like she just couldn't go anymore. And they pulled her out of the water into that boat. But it wasn't until she was on the boat that she discovered that the shore was just half a mile away. 15 hours of struggling and agony and perseverance to give up in sight of the shore. You've lived for God for years. Don't give up now. You've trusted in God through every circumstance. This circumstance that you're experiencing right now is no different than the last one. You just still gotta trust Him. As we stand together, I'm challenging you today. Don't give up now. Don't throw in the towel now. God has promised you, you can make it. God has promised you that He'll make a way when there seems to be no way. Even when all hope is lost. Even when your promise is dead and gone. Even when you don't understand it. There's some things that I just don't get. There's some things that I just don't know why God allows them to happen. But I've got to trust that He knows what's going on. There's miracles in this place today. I'm not looking for an out. I'm not looking for some side door to sneak through to get out of a miracle, because I believe that there are miracles here today. I believe that somebody's going to be healed today. I believe it with my whole heart. I believe that somebody's going to be delivered of addiction today. With every fiber of my being, I believe that God is going to do miracles in this place today. But one of the greatest miracles that we might need from God is the miracle of being able to keep our hope steadfastly fixed on Him when the miracle doesn't come. There may be somebody today that God's not going to do the miracle in your body, but He's going to do the miracle in your mind. There may be somebody today that receives a healing, but there may be somebody else today that God says that my healing is not my intention for you. But my intention is for you to trust me, and so I'm going to do a miracle in your mind. There may be somebody today in a desperate situation. And God's going to come through. God's going to just let there be a mighty, miraculous breakthrough. But there's going to be somebody else today that God's coming to you and saying that that breakthrough is not my intention for you. But I'm going to do a miracle in your mind, and I'm going to do a miracle in your heart so that you're going to be able to trust me, and that you're going to be able to hope in me when you have no reason to hope. There's somebody here today that you've been holding on to hope for so long. I'm challenging you to dare to hope again. Dare to hope one more day. Dare to hope through one more prayer. Dare to hope through one more experience with God, and trust that He has what's best for you in store for you. If you come today and you don't have the Holy Ghost living inside of you, this giver of hope, this spirit that's going to give you the power to overcome the enemy, then as they begin to sing, as they begin to pray, we're going to open up these altars. In fact, if you want, you can come right now. And let God fill you with His spirit. Let God fill you with His presence and restore that joy. Restore that hope. Restore that power to believe in Him. Restore that power to trust in Him. To believe that He has it all in control. God, restore my expectations.